In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. Wonderful to be here today. Thank you for coming. An eventful week. And even as I came into the service this morning, I was listening to the news. Laura Kunzberg and Keir Starmer being interviewed about the events of this last week. So, time to pray. Time to pray. We live in a very precarious world. Some of you will know that I've been in Switzerland for 2 weeks. We go there every year to minister, and I become the chaplain to the ski resort of Zermatt. We've put a picture on the front of Starlink today, just in case you didn't know it. It's a wonderful ministry, and people come from the village, but also they come from all over the world for the ministry there. Zermatt is particularly well known because of Toblerone. Somebody gave this. I've got to eat this before Wednesday. You might not know, but Toblerone on here is the national symbol of Switzerland, the Matterhorn. And our church is famous in St. Peter's because the first climbers of the Matterhorn, one of the most majestic mountains of the world, if you've never been to Zermatt and seen this glorious mountain, never been there, it's worth going to, just to take in this glorious view, transcendent, transfigured, it's wonderful. The first climbers of the Matterhorn fell on the way down. And you can hear about all the history of this. It's a very famous climbing accident. And the priest who was with them, a chap called the Reverend Hudson, he was one of the climbers, and he is buried in the below the altar of the church that we take responsibility for in St. Peter's. And all around the walls of this church are memorials of climbers who have lost their lives climbing this incredible mountain. I'd said to Barbara, before I die, one of the things I want to do on my bucket list is to climb the Matterhorn. So pray for me. But thank you for your prayers while we've been there. You know, this last week, I went to Sainsbury's. And I was buying some stuff for the youth club that we run on Friday night. And I noticed that there was Ramadan stuff everywhere. I thought to myself, well, is there anything to do with Lent in Sainsbury's? I came back home and I did a search on Sainsbury's website. Put in Ramadan, all these products came up. I put in Lent. It thought I'd misspelt it, and it changed it to lint. By the way, I'm very grateful, wonderfully, that people pray and fast during Ramadan. It's important that people give themselves to other things, that they deny themselves. But what surprised me is how Christianity has been eroded from our national life. I asked a young man yesterday, he's Polish, so he will be Catholic. I said, do you know what Lent is? He had no idea. I said, do you know what Ramadan is? And he came back with a very articulate explanation of what Ramadan is. And I thought Christianity has been eroded from our national life. And it makes me think as we come to Wednesday, when we begin Lent, all of us have to be much more intentional about our Christianity and about what we believe. Somebody has said that in Western Europe, the underbelly of the church is much too soft. It's not robust enough to to bring about change in the way that we need to, and I think that's true. And if you look at the events of the news and how things can become very precarious and uncertain, perhaps more than ever before, Christians need to be intentional and to know what it means to fast and pray. In our reading from the Gospels today, we become aware that these disciples and Jesus, a veil is taken away, and they become aware of another reality which is very close to the immediate reality. It's just like a curtain away, and they suddenly step into the glory of who Jesus is. They're transfigured. It's a mountaintop experience. Their hearts and minds are lifted up to something else. Oh, that we today could be transfigured in our responses to life, because some of us live on what I call a lunar landscape of existence, where we are concerned with the near and here and now, but really our hearts and minds need to be transfigured to a greater glory, that there is more than actually what we know, that things can be transcendent. That even you and I, as we look at each other today, we're glorious. We're glorious because we are made in the image of God, and every cell in your body is a masterpiece of the most amazing engineering that you could ever imagine. Every single cell in your body is a masterpiece of the most amazing engineering that you could ever imagine, way beyond our understanding. Because actually things are glorious, and we need to be transfigured. So we take life for granted. One another, the world. Last night my grandson was unwell, and I just took him in my arms and held him for a bit and prayed with him. And I thought, wow, he's glorious. So many people think he's just another child. But actually, if we only knew, as I held him, that he's glorious. He's a masterpiece, a wonder. And every word that comes out of his mouth and every song that he wonderfully sings, it's wonderful if we only knew it. But you see, we've taken ordinary things and we live on a lunar landscape rather than the glory of who we really are. And all of us need to be transfigured. There is another world that connects with us. If only we could lift up our hearts and see it. And actually, well, that's why I love the stained glass here at St. Andrew's, as the sun shines in here this morning, and the colour of this place, because it says there's more, there's another reality. If only you could see things as being glorious, really. But we live on a lunar landscape. We live as if we live on the moon, and it's just arid dust, and there's no more. Listen, there's much more. Only if we could behold the glory. The glory of being married for 60 years. The glory of faithful people who said to each other, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death us do part. That's glorious. That's glorious. Thank you for holding that. It's what sustains us, I tell you. It's what keeps us. It's what keeps family life. It's what nurtures children. It's what builds strong community. So, Les and Maureen, what you've done is glorious. And when we share in the wine later, it's intoxicating, because it lifts us into another world that says, there's more. There's more. It's glorious. And when we get up in the morning, I hope you get up and you say, this is the day the Lord has made, that I will rejoice and be glad in it, because all of us actually will encounter during that course of that day glorious things. You live on a lunar landscape. And things are more glorious than you can ever really imagine. And one day we will see it face to face. We will be transformed from glory into glory. But I pray that you will capture it now. They have a charismatic experience on the mountain. Thank God for charismatic experiences. But when they come down the mountain, they face a demon in the child, and they cannot do anything about it. There's a lesson. They have a charismatic experience, and they experience something of the transcendent nature of God. They enter into another veil beyond themselves, but they come down the mountain to the valley, and they can't cope with the demon. Jesus has to come and he expels the demon. It doesn't say it in Luke's gospel, but it does say it in the same stories, which is bookended, Transfiguration and the expulsion, in Mark and Matthew's gospel. It gives the reason why they couldn't expel the demon. Do you know why? They ask him, and Jesus says, these only go through prayer and fasting. These will only go, he says, through prayer and fasting. These will only go through prayer and through fasting. What a great introduction to Lent. Ash Wednesday. I hope you'll be here. Because on Ash Wednesday, we will go into Lent and we will commit ourselves to prayer, self-denial, and fasting. There are demons in our world at the moment that are everywhere, and they will only be expelled through prayer and fasting. There are demons in our family life that will only be expelled through prayer and through fasting. That's why we need Lent. That's why we need Ash Wednesday. There are demons in your personal life that you have wrestled through for years and years and years, and you said, how do I get rid of it? How do I deal with it? It will only come through prayer and fasting. That's why this is important. You see, it's not enough to have the charismatic experience. What you have to wonder about is, how do we deal with the valley of the ordinary day-to-life things that we face that will only be dealt with by prayer and fasting? Some people think that human beings have no free will. A lot of people think that. That actually free will is a complete myth. That all of our choices are determined by our environment, and there is no such thing as human free will to make choices. I don't believe that. I believe that as a humanity made in the image of God, we have the ability to make choices and that we're not determined. So to finish, as we approach Lent and Ash Wednesday, I want you to make some choices. I want you to choose to live differently and to choose goodness. I want you to choose to break out of the things that you already do that entrap you. I want you to choose to break away from the demons that occupy your life, and through prayer and fasting to make a difference to the world that you occupy and the places that you go and maybe the work that you do. I would encourage you to come, and if you haven't bought our little book for Lent at home in Lent, then I've got some copies remaining there, £5. And if you haven't signed up for one of our Lent groups, the list is at the back. And at the piece this morning, we will give an opportunity for you to sign up for one of those groups. I would ask that you do, because I believe that we have choices. Your life can be transfigured through prayer and fasting. Get it. If you're concerned about the demons in your life that you face today, it can be transfigured through prayer and fasting. That's why it's wonderful. And the sun can shine in new ways. And we can break free. So the Ukraine can break free. So Mr. Trump and J.D. Vance can break free. So Keir Starmer can break free, and all of us can break free if we turn to this. We can believe something new. We can make new choices. We can dispel the demons through prayer and fasting. That's wonderful. During the peace, just before the peace, we will give you an opportunity to sign up for Lent. And on Wednesday, as we begin Ash Wednesday, 9:30 here and 7:30, do come. Amen.